You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
And she's going to share with us openly and candidly her story, and hopefully women and young people and men hear her story and her hope. She now runs a restoration ministry program where she's out coaching and helping people get in recovery and stay in recovery, even beyond the doors of AA and NA. So she's got an incredible story. I'm going to be quiet, let her share. And want to encourage you to call with your questions, too. Nothing's below the belt. Kelly is very honest. I asked her if there's anything she doesn't want to say, and she said no, she's open. She's going where God takes her today. So our phone number is 424-1400. Don't hesitate to call if you have any questions or sharing. So at this point, I'm going to introduce you to Kelly. Thanks for coming, Kelly.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks for having me.
Definitely. So you're new in Evansville, Indiana. Tell us a little how you got here. And
well, actually, I've been in the Evansville area since about 2003. Relocated here in 2003. Needed a place to raise my children that was safe and a place where they could get a quality education. And we ended up here in Evansville. We've been here pretty much ever since. My kids graduated from here, and they're off in college now. And so here we are.
Here you are, and there is a good education here.
It is. It is
there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you got them taken care of and into adult life. What happened in your story, in your life?
Well, I had the typical childhood upbringing. Was raised by both parents. Went to private school, had a good upbringing, raised in the church, had values instilled mm-hmm. in me from an early age. But like many people, at some point in our life, we deviate from what we know. And so I began drinking. I had a very high tolerance for drinking, could always drink, drank for many, many years socially, functioned on my jobs. That continued for many years, and then the cocaine use started. And for many years, I functioned as a functioning cocaine addict.
Wow.
Was unaware that I was an addict, but I functioned on a daily basis for years,
Goodness.
And it wasn't until 1999 that I realized I was actually an addict.
Mm-hmm. So people can be out there drinking and functioning with cocaine addiction and still getting up, showing up, doing the deal.
I did.
So not everybody that's an addict's down and out.
Well, not everyone that's an addict, I believe, is down and out in the beginning. But I do believe that if you use long enough, you're going to hit bottom at some point. You're going to.
And you got there, but you didn't see it at that point.
I didn't see it at that point. I, like I said, I've always had really good jobs. I've had my mother was my chief enabler, and so she covered for me, and she fixed many of my problems. And so for a long time, I didn't know that I was an addict because I didn't have all the crises that other people had. And that came because I was financially secure.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took me a little longer to realize that I was an addict.
Well, and like you said, when you have the money, you have the means, it is easier to cover it up. And you had said when we were talking earlier that you were with a man that had readily access to a lot of cocaine, so you didn't even know.
No. At that time, in the late 80s, early 90s, cocaine was a recreational drug. The guy that I was dating at that time, he was also a cocaine dealer, so we had plenty of cocaine around. He and I both worked. We had no children, so there was money flowing in from all directions, and we used because we had it.
Yeah.
Or so we thought.
Did you know at any level at that point you were doing something wrong or destructive?
Well, I don't know about the destructive part, because had I known the destructive nature of this disease, God knows I would have never tried it. But I did know it was wrong, and the reason why I say that is because there were only certain people that I wanted to know that I did it, and that lets me know that I knew it was wrong, definitely.
Because you couldn't be out and open about
it. Yeah, I wouldn't just pull it out in front of just anybody. I only did it around people that I knew also did it. You know, so I started living a double life, mm-hmm. you know, started masking, you know, and pretending. And it continued for years. It continued for many, many years.
And you functioned that
way. And I functioned.
That double life. So what what happened?
Well, basically, it just got to the point to where I couldn't function anymore. One day, without even knowing it, I crossed an invisible line. He no longer sold drugs, so the supply wasn't readily available. My mother died, and during the grieving process, my usage increased. I started spending more money. So, of course, now I'm up later, and so I started not being able to go to work. I started missing days from work and, you know, just not having the money to take care of the household like I normally would have done. And my addiction escalated. It really escalated. And I knew then that something's wrong. I have a problem.
So you knew it.
I knew it.
But you were addicted by that.
But by that time, I was already addicted.
Were your kids aware of it? Did anybody try to tell you?
My kids were not aware of it until their late teens. My mother, again, my chief enabler, she did an incredible job of shielding it from my children. Mm-hmm. They did not know that I was an addict until well after my mother was dead.
Thank God for grandparents.
Thank God for grandparents.
Did she know you were using?
She knew. She knew without a doubt.
Mothers know, don't they?
Mothers know. And she loved me so much in spite of, and she always believed to the day that she died that I would get sober. She believed God for that, and she just had that faith, and she kept telling me. She said, you're not going to be like this always. You know, at that point, I couldn't see it,
right.
But she believed God for it, and so I said, okay.
She must be one of your angels.
She is one of my
definitely
angels. She is. Mm-hmm.
So how did it all did something spiral out that got your attention?
Well, I have a brother whom I'm 8 years older, and at that time, he just started noticing a change in me, and so he came to me one day and he said, let me take the kids home with me, and I want you to go get you some help. And I thought, there's nothing wrong with me, you know. And then he just over a period of time just kept pointing out, you know, where I was. You know, he started showing me and my addiction. And then I had family members who kept telling me something was wrong with me. And, of course, I was in denial for a long time.
And those siblings know it for sure. Our parents might not see it, but the siblings do, don't they?
And the thing that convinced me to get help was the day he looked at me and he said, who are you? You are not my sister. He said, you're like an alien. He said, it's like an alien has taken over your body. He said, I want my sister back.
Gosh.
And he cried. And he cried, and my brother was like 24 years old, 6 feet two, 270 pounds, and he's standing there crying.
Did that get your attention?
Got my attention. It got my attention.
So did you go get help at that point?
I went and got help and got sober, stayed sober for years.
How?
Well, initially, I worked a 12-step program, heavily involved in AA. Have a strong faith in God, got connected to my local church, started praying a lot, reading my Bible, fellowshipping with other people in recovery for support, and then I relocated to Evansville. And when I was in Wisconsin, everyone knew that I had been an addict, so that was okay. So when I came to Evansville, I wanted a new life for me. And so I didn't want to share that part of my life. And because of the different jobs that I had, I didn't feel comfortable going to meetings and sharing. And so I stopped going to meetings and not knowing a lot of people here. And, you know, most
started hiding again.
And most people have trust issues when they're in recovery, when they're all addicts. And so that was a good reason not to have a sponsor. So I wasn't going to meetings. I didn't have a sponsor. Wasn't working the steps. And little by little, the old behaviors crept back up on me. I got real busy helping everybody else and taking care of everybody else, which is a classic addictive symptom, fix,
definitely,
manage, and control, and everything and everybody around me.
Yes.
I forgot to take care of myself.
And you got in some good jobs in the community mm-hmm. at a good time. Mm-hmm. It sounds like maybe that image you got caught up in. I can't show myself going to meetings. That's for drug addicts.
You know, and here in Evansville, you know.
Yeah, small community.
I'm sitting on boards and I'm managing the Drug Crisis Center.
Pressure.
You know, right. And so how can I tell all these other people who are not addicts that, hey, I'm an addict? Ooh. You know, and then how can I go to meetings with my clients and share where I am, you know? So that was the excuse that I used.
So, Kelly, you can even live a double life sober.
Of course you can.
Be dry, but not tell people you're one coke
hit
away.
I did it for years, and I did it for years, and I had people in recovery who kept trying to tell me something's wrong, you need to go to a meeting, you know, and I couldn't own it. I just wouldn't own it. I just wouldn't own it because I looked like I was okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't go away, Tri-State. We've got to take just a couple minutes for a break. When we get back, we'll talk more about Kelly's recovery, where she goes, and how she makes it today, one day at a time, without a drink or a drug.
Hey, you. Yeah, you listening to the radio. It's me again. Have you got that HIV test yet? As I mentioned before, if you have put yourself at risk by having unprotected sex with more than one person or used IV drugs, guess what? You've put yourself at risk for HIV. Make that appointment today by calling the Vandenberg County Health Department at 435-5683 or stop by 420 East Mulberry. It's that easy. Remember, everything is confidential. No one has to know you've gotten the test unless you tell them, so do it. What do you have to lose except maybe your life or your partner's life? When in doubt, get checked out.
Real psoriasis sufferers get real results from Dermarest.
The psoriasis on my knees, the itchiness can drive you crazy. I have tried everything. Dermarest is the best product I have ever used.
Dermarest psoriasis provides complete relief, removing scales, letting healthy skin grow. And now Dermarest is improved with a unique zinc complex that moisturizes and reduces redness. Feel your best and look your best with Dermarest.
Hello, Dermarest. Goodbye, psoriasis.
Every day, people help develop new medications by participating in clinical research studies. Have you ever wondered who these people are? They're neighbors, friends, classmates, people just like you. Join them in helping others by participating in a clinical research study. Covance needs healthy, non-smoking men and women age 18 to 55 to participate in a clinical research study of an investigational medication. 3 study periods of 3 days, 2 nights, plus 2 outpatient visits, each with 1 follow-up visit required. Receive up to $2,800 if you complete the study. Call 866-913-4434 or visit testwiththebest.com for details. Once again, Covance needs healthy, non-smoking men and women age 18 to 55 to participate in a clinical research study for an investigational medication. Call 866-913-4434 or visit testwiththebest.com for details. To all our participants, past, present, and future, we'd just like to say thank you.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Well, we are back, and Kelly and I are having a wonderful conversation about what it's like to be a woman in recovery in this community, a black woman in recovery, a Jewish woman in recovery, just the cultural issues. Of course, when you have this disease, it doesn't matter what color you are or what gender you are or what age you are. You're going to do whatever you need to do to get better, but there are things we have to be sensitive about culturally. Kelly has started Restoration Ministry. She's going to tell us a little about it to address some of those cultural issues and that AA and NA aren't supposed to address. So, Kelly, tell us a little more, you know, just from your perspective. You've been clean and sober 3 years. You've been in Evansville almost a decade. What are some of the cultural things that you've seen, some of the strengths, some of the challenges? Why can't we get more minorities into recovery here?
Well, one of the biggest problems that I see is there are several people in the African-American community here who are sober, who have been sober for double digits. And one thing about the African American community, for whatever reason, once we get sober, we tend to get sober and go home. It's very hard to get people with 10, 15, 20 years sober in the African community to commit to coming to meetings to help the newcomer. So what you have is you have a newcomer who goes to Stepping Stones, and of course we encourage them to get sponsors, and then they go to the meetings and there's nobody that looks like them in the meetings.
Yeah.
Because when we get sober, we get good jobs, we join our church, and we work in our ministries, and we forget that we were an alcoholic or an addict. And so we're not there to help those newcomers. So that's one of the problems, you know, that's a real cultural problem for us. And that's what's kind of hard for African Americans to stay sober, because there's just not enough support here.
And they come to the 12-step meetings and don't see enough.
And they don't see enough of us.
Wow.
They don't see enough of
us. Is that getting better?
I don't see it getting better. Mm-hmm. There are a faithful few that are committed. And so, no, I don't see it getting better. I pray that it does. I pray that once we, you know, in recovery, you know, there's a saying that says you only get to keep it if you give it away, you know. And we have to realize how important it is for us to reach back and mm-hmm. help somebody make it through what we've been through. And that's the reason why God blesses us to get sober. That's the only reason, you know.
Do you think only a black should reach out to another black, or a woman to another woman, or a young to another? You think it should stay that?
I definitely think a woman should work with a woman, and a man should work with a man. I don't know if it has to be black on black or white on white, but I do know that if you're working with a person outside of your race, you definitely need to be aware of the cultural differences. You have to be aware of them and be sensitive to them, you know, because... You know, it is what it is.
Yes, it's reality.
That's reality. There are norms in the African-American community that are not norms in the Caucasian community. And so we need to know what those are. And that way we can help those people that we're sponsoring deal with their cultural issues, you know.
Can we teach that to each other, or is it still too taboo to talk about the difference in our race with each other?
Well, I think I think it's getting better.
Good.
I think that we have moved to a place where we can talk about it more. I do think to a certain extent it's teachable, yeah. Because what it takes is a person who wants to learn,
yeah.
Who's committed to helping.
Sure.
You know, so yeah, it's doable.
Because I know I wouldn't know, but I'd be willing to ask,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
is this offensive, or should I mention it this way, or how do we communicate so that we can connect with each other?
Exactly. And, you know, and then as far as working the steps, though, I can't really say that it really makes a difference.
I agree with you.
When you're working with the steps.
Once you're in the steps,
I don't know. I can't say that it makes a difference.
But to get to the step.
And then even once you're out of recovery and you've worked those steps for the first time, you need people in your life or your support system, people that can mentor you, mm-hmm. that can show you how to live life on life's terms. Because if you spend a great deal of time and active addiction, you have so many behaviors that are associated with using that you think are just commonplace.
Yes.
You know, and so
and prejudice is one of them, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We're very judgmental of
mm-hmm.
each other. And
mm-hmm.
That's a hard nut to break. So mm-hmm. your Restoration Ministries is your way of giving back, it sounds like.
Exactly. You know, again, I do believe that God allows us to go through things, not just for ourselves, so that one, we can be a testimony and share our story with other people, which is one of the reasons why in the beginning I couldn't stay sober, because I didn't want to share it. I wanted to keep it for myself.
And were you afraid of what other people would think?
I was afraid of what other people would think, most definitely, you know, and just didn't want that stigma. You know, and so through Restoration Ministries, what we do is we work with individuals in recovery. We do one-on-one life coaching with them. We just basically assist them in getting their lives back. You know, families are divided, so we have family reunification issues. Mm-hmm. We have employment issues. You know, if you've been in active addiction for years, who knows what your work history looks like? You know, so you have to start to rebuild your life. You have to know how to rebuild your
mm-hmm.
life. You know, and so we work with individuals and just basically help restore them back to that place where they, where God initially meant for them to be.
What a beautiful name, Restoration, Ministry. So you help with all that other stuff.
With all that other stuff. And once you leave treatment and you go to Stepping Stones for 14 days, when you come out, your life is still a mess, mm-hmm. and you need some help in, you know, rebuilding your life.
Absolutely. So how would we get a hold of somebody at Restoration Ministries?
Well, we have a phone.
What's the phone number?
Our phone number is 812-598-8465. You can call and we can just do a basic intake with you over the phone, set up a meeting with you to do an assessment to see what your issues are, what your needs are, what we can do to be of assistance, and then we pair you up with someone who can shadow you and assist you.
Well, we've got to get you up at our drug court. Judge Trockman's got to meet you, too. So this is new.
This is very new. Basically, it was birthed, again, out of what I believe is my calling. And so what we've started it just in 2009. And it's still in its infancy stage, but we have some really great people in recovery that have some strong recovery.
And our coaches.
That are our coaches that work with us. And so we're real pleased at what God is doing, and we look forward to really being a help in this community.
You know, I think that that is great because you can carry the message of the 12 steps in AA, but you're right, there's so many people coming in now that need a lot, that have lost a lot.
Exactly. And one of the things that we do at Restoration Ministries, we educate the churches, you know, because a lot of times people who have never been addicted, they don't understand the nature of addiction. And so we educate the churches on what it looks like to be addicted. How do you actually help somebody who's addicted? And so we're encouraging churches to open their doors for 12-step programs to start ministries that actually deal with the substance abuse issues and all the homelessness, the family issues.
Wow.
Those are all part of who these people are when they come into the church.
Yes.
And so you have to know how to help them. It's not enough to want to help. You have to know how to help without offending and hurting as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, my. So they know you're in recovery.
They know I'm in recovery.
It's a restoration ministry is built on that. Do you help people that want to do an intervention? Let's say families have a family member they're concerned about and don't know how to intervene.
Yes, most of that too. We would do that.
Oh, that's great.
And it's helpful. And sometimes we just sit down with family members. I sat down with a mother in particular who had a daughter who, you know, was on drugs, and she just wanted to know, how do I help my daughter?
Sure.
You know, she was feeling kind of devastated and kind of helpless, you know. And sometimes one of the hardest things for parents to do is just to let go and let God and just let the addiction kind of take its course because, you know, they don't realize they're enabling. So somebody has to tell them that.
Yes.
You know.
So you can help in that. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. What a great way to give back.
Yeah.
So Restoration Ministry, 598-8465, and you can see Kelly in lots of 12-step meetings, too. Cocaine Anonymous?
Cocaine Anonymous, which is held at Mount Olive Galilee Baptist Church at 825 Lyme Street. We have CA meetings there on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. On Fridays, we have Sisters of Faith, which is a 12-step biblical-based recovery meeting for women. And it's really growing, and it's open to the public. So please feel free to join us at any time.
Well, thank you. Can you believe it? Really, recovery is getting on the map now, isn't
it? Yeah, it is.
It's just we got to, like you said, get out there and let people know.
And
it's okay to be honest about it. You were saying that's the biggest enemy.
You can't get help unless you get honest.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get help. We have a saying that says a closed mouth doesn't get fed. Mm. You have to be able to admit where you are, who you are, and then reach out for that help. And if you reach out, there are people out there to help. There are people out there to help.
Well, what a great theme for the day that Kelly's brought us today is there are people that'll help. Be honest. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Call.
It's
yell.
It's necessary to be honest.
Absolutely. And get people that can help you be honest. Like you didn't even think you had a problem.
No.
So somebody had to help you see it.
Mm-hmm. And we call that holding you accountable. And that's why it's so important to have other recovering people in your life, because they recognize behaviors in you that maybe you don't recognize. We love each other enough to hold each other accountable for those behaviors and for change as well.
Not afraid to hurt each other's feelings.
Not afraid to hurt each other's feelings. Sometimes we have to hurt each other's feelings because we love you and we want you to live.
Wow. You all have got to meet Kelly. She's at Restoration Ministries, 598-8465. Will you come back to Radio Rehab?
I will.
We're so proud and excited to have you today.
Thank you.
Community, if you want to hear Kelly, she'll be on lisasifecares.net by the middle of the week on the website. And you can call here at the radio station, The Pump, and they will get a hold of Kelly or myself if you want to talk to us after we close. This has gone fast. Thank you, Tri-State, for listening. What an inspiring half hour. I hope you got as much out of it as we did being here sharing. And we'll be back next week for sure. So don't forget between now and then to do the next right thing.